Born in 1968, poet Chris Locke has lived most of his life in the Granite State.
I was born in Laconia, and I grew up in Exeter. I was a townie. I was proud of it. And I left, you know, vowing, I'll never return to this town. And all I look forward to is going back to visit my folks.
Locke dabbled in storytelling as a kid, but it wasn't until high school that he wrote his first poem.
It was about the dark, nebulous, soul-sucking night, you know, typical teenage poem. And the ending was really bleak. And I showed it to my English teacher. And I had changed the ending to be a little more sunny because I was afraid that it's not acceptable to have a dark ending. And she said, what are you doing with all this happy, clappy stuff at the end? That's ridiculous. The dark is where this poem wins.
But darkness itself is not the prize. Familiarity and connection, remembrance and insight are. His poems are small stories that proceed with the intimacy of diary entries, a walk in the woods, or waiting for his daughter at the bus stop. But then something like the reflection of clouds on a pond begins to unearth old and difficult emotions.
I think the role of poetry is to make people feel or remind them that they're not alone. I think the voice of the poet does that quite well. It helps the reader understand and see that he or she has a compatriot in this world that speaks for them. And so that's its real role, I think.
Here's Christopher Locke reading Waiting for Grace.
Waiting for my daughter's school bus, a March afternoon brushed haunted and gray. I keep company with the clouds, their gaunt reflections charcoaled atop our pond, the wind tugging its iron cloak around trees standing nude along the shore, as if between acts and someone has stolen their beautiful gowns. I feel feral and alone, slouching in my black coat and sipping a Pepsi One, thinking again I'll never shake my lust for pills, narcotics which have unknit my life so completely. I close my eyes and concentrate on something brighter, take another swig off my harmless soda. Above me, a small abacus of birds fills a telephone wire, and I smile when I think of her, my daughter Grace, 10 years old and sunk deep in a harem of gossip as she navigates fourth grade, deciding at lunch which queen is ripe for the plucking. And if it isn't hysteria wrought by the Jonas Brothers, then it's the complaint her arms are too fat, holding them out, incredulous, for my wife and me to inspect. But what she doesn't know is that every day she saves my life, drilling the science quiz together at night, or just by asking that I pass the ketchup at dinner, is what keeps me here, awkward yet alive. And now, the yellow cube of her bus rounding the corner, stopping in front of the driveway. I see her through the windows laughing, popping gum at her friends. It's only when she steps onto the pavement, crosses the street toward me, that I realize we're both moving, both in the process of leaving something behind.
Oh, is there any truth in that one?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's a hard poem. It's a hard poem, but it's good. It's about life. It's about living instead of existing.
A difference that can be found in almost all of Chris Locke's poems, where the dark that wins discloses a shadowed prize of light. For NHPR, I'm Sean Hurley.